and record. And here I am in the new Crawdaddy Club on the Crazy Hill Road in Billericay. And I've got the distinguished pleasure of sitting down here having a chat with Buddy Whittington.
Jess, you're easily amused. I don't know how distinguished it is being to be here, but it's nice to be sitting here talking to you, even though it is a little bit cold in this room.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
I think we'll make it.
Yeah, it's a little bit chilly, but you know, the thing is that over here, you're big news because you used to be one of the blues breakers.
Well, I was in there a long time, and it was one of those things where you just ride it until it's time to get off the pony, you know what I mean? And it was 15 years of steady house payments for me, you know, and a lot of good memories. Got to play with a lot of my heroes, and I still see those guys. And Rocky Yathis, the guy's playing with John now, is an old friend of mine from Texas, and I see him, and quite often I hear from John a little bit here and there, so we're all still kind of connected.
Well, I understand that John Mayhill has been quoted as saying that you're perhaps one of the greatest blues breaker of them all.
I've heard him say a lot of complimentary things, and I've seen a lot of it in print. I can't vouch for that one exactly, I probably wouldn't do that. I would never do it anyway, you know what I mean? Because there's with the forefathers that came before me in that thing, I would never even, want to think that I'd be in the same hemisphere as some of those guys.
No, that's just your Texas modesty coming in there, right?
I mean, I grew up listening to all those guys, and they're all still very much my heroes.
Yeah, well, I suspect that they're listening to you, too.
Well, I hope so. I'm glad anytime somebody tells me they're listening and that there's somebody that bought a record and actually puts it on and listens to it and enjoys it, man, that's the greatest thrill of all.
Yeah, that's
good.
Well, tell me about your songwriting. Right, take me through your process as it relates to how you write a song.
Well, as a rule, I'll either have a catchphrase, or a lick. It never is the same way every time. But I mean, I'll either have a guitar lick that won't go away, and I keep thinking about it, or somebody will say something, and I'll go, man, there's a line to a song right there, and then I'll kind of work on it. It might be years before it, manifests itself and turns into a song. The tunes on Six Strings Svengali, my current record, or some of them go like way back. And I mean, I had little pieces of them that I've been thinking about for years and years, and I wanted to get everything that I had in a nice, concise little package and go in and record it. And I was able to do it with that record. Now I got to do something for the next one. I've got to go find some new experiences and new things to talk about.
Well, you'll have some new experiences on your tour here in the UK and Europe, I'm sure.
Well, we've had quite a few. We've had a blowout on the M25 one night that might figure somewhere had to sit in wait while we got the AA people to come out. I found out that AA means a completely different thing in England.
It does indeed, doesn't it? Yeah, well, I hear a couple of songs in there, actually.
Yeah,
just as you're explaining. So what normally comes first? Is it always the same? Does the music come before the lyrics?
You just never know, I mean, I'm not very prolific. I don't write a lot of songs. I hear a lot of guys when they go in and record, they go, well, we had about 47 songs. Man, I wish I had 47 songs total, It's hard for me to get some. I throw a lot of them away, and I go, oh, that'll never work, or that's too obvious, or that's too cliched, or whatever. But I just try to make things that I think haven't been overdone. And as far as writing I'm being touted a lot as a blues artist, and I realize we don't play 12-bar blueses and shuffles all night long. We do play them, and when we always will and always enjoy it, but a lot of the tunes I do are out of that framework. Not in the traditional thing. I think of it as a little more contemporary and maybe leaning toward the blues rock idiom a little bit more. But, it's just whatever idea you have. Might have a good guitar lick, or you might have a little vocal line or something like that, and just hope you can turn it into a song.
Well, I think you've answered I think you've already answered my next question, because I was going to ask you, like, the blues aside, what are the common themes in your work to date?
You just mean things that the songs are about?
And
it mostly just comes out of life, I've got the Svengali record, I've got back when the Beano was boss, and everybody of a certain age knows that the Beano album is Blues Breakers with Eric Clapton, the original John Mayall Blues Breakers with Eric Clapton, where Eric's on the front looking real disinterested in the photo shoot, I asked him about it one time, when I met him, the one time I was actually around him one day, and it was a dressing room where we all were, and there was a Beano in there in the dressing room, and I held it up. I said, "Did you see this?" He goes, "I can't escape it." So I guess people have been showing it to him for quite a few years. Yeah. But there, you know, that Beano album, that was, you know, 65 or so, and there's a lot of civil unrest going on in the United States, and you know, you had Martin Luther King and the Kennedys and all that going on, and then here's a guy from England that is re-importing. I got to quote my friend Willie Mosley from Tallahassee, Alabama. That was his quote, was re-importing an American art form, because a lot of the kids, you know, of my social strata, you know, that I was lucky. I had, my parents were music fans. They loved Western swing music, Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys, and Hank Thompson and the Brazos Valley Boys, and guys like that. My sister is a little bit older than me, and she was right there when the Beatles and the Stones and the Kinks and everything came along. So I got a lot of that, you know. But there's a lot going on there. The time the Beano album came out in the 60s, civil rights causing a rift, ideas and opinions beginning to shift. A lot of young Americans hadn't been hit, but the blokes and the birds saw the blues as a gift, you know. And that's just, you know, just what was happening at the time.
Yeah. What's the biggest challenge been in your career?
Well, I wouldn't say that there's been many challenges. I'm just happy to keep at it. You know what I mean? You know, we'd all love to go out and have a big record. I was looking at R2 magazine today, and I was just going, man, look how many people are trying every day. You know, they've gone in, they've spent all their money and hocked themselves up to, you know, their neck to get a record together, and hopefully maybe somebody will hear it. You know what I mean? There's some really nice artists out there. You know, it's hard to be heard in a world like we're in now, you know. And like I say, I'm just happy to continue to be working, you know. And maybe, yeah, we good. Can maybe we can keep the fans we have and maybe hear a few, you know, enlist a few younger ones, newer ones, whatever, on the journey.
Well, we're happy you're still playing, that's for sure.
Well, it's all I really know how to do. Yeah. I've done a few things other than that in my time, but like I say, I've been playing a long time now. My wife and I, we've got a 22-year-old son, a 19-year-old daughter, and the daughter's away at school, and the son's working, making car payments. So my wife just literally started a new job, and when I get home, I don't know if anybody's going to be home. I'm going home in a couple of days. Maybe that I used to worry about her not letting me in. Now I don't think anybody will be there.
To let you in,
yeah,
you'll have to have to break into your own home.
Yep.
Yeah. So what is success for you?
Well, like I say, just being able to continue to work in a medium that, you know, as long as I want to do it, being able to go do gigs with guys you enjoy playing with, and you know, having people that there's a lot of people on a lot of the gigs that we do, the level that we're at, they're not giant gigs, and we see a lot of people that we know, you know. Yeah. And it's always good to see people that come to see you and you know, respect your what you do enough to come buy a ticket and come in. And we always that's a big thing for me, that people actually just want to show up and sit there for a couple of hours.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, why not? Yeah, when they hear you play, well, who would want to leave early? Now, thinking back to your early childhood, let me take you all the way back to your childhood. What was your first experience with music, and what was it like?
Well, I mean, this is before I ever, I mean, I got my first guitar. I was probably 8 years old. But, I mean, like I say, my sister had records, you know, before that. And I can remember, I mean, I was born in 56, and, you know, 59, Buddy Holly died. And I can remember Peggy Sue being on the radio. You know, I can remember, you know, like a lot of Elvis tunes on the radio. Things were different back then. AM radio in the car, you know.
That's correct, yeah.
Old tube radio. And like I say, again, there was a lot of local country music television shows on Saturday afternoon. There's one in Fort Worth called the Cowtown Jamboree, and there's one in Dallas called the Big D Jamboree, and they had all the country artists of the day would be on there. And I always watched it just so I could see who was playing a Telecaster or a Stratocaster or a Jazzmaster or whatever they had. You know, You'd have the odd guy that would come in there with an ES-335 in a country band, you know, playing it real smooth. And I always wanted to see what kind of gear they were using, you know what I mean? And a lot of those tunes, I still go do gigs with friends when I get off the road, and we get together and play a lot of those old country tunes, too.
Yeah. So what made you decide that you wanted to pursue a career in music?
I just kind of went that way. I mean, I had a little electronics training when I was in high school. About enough to keep my amp working, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm working just stuff to keep my own equipment working. I mean, it's all so far over my head now that everything's, you know, obsolete that I learned in school, except for, you know, keeping an old guitar amplifier working, or putting a new pickup in, or a new volume pot, or something like that. I do a little of that, but you know, I'm just trying to keep going, doing the same thing I've done the whole time, the early things the things that I like now are pretty much the same things as I liked back then. You know, I got a friend. He says when I remember being a kid getting my first electric. He said, I just remember the fact that, he goes, you plugged it in and hit the string over here and the sound came out over there. Yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool, wasn't it? Yeah, that was pretty cool. Now, he sounds a lot like my brother and myself, yeah. Describe your music in 3 or 4 words.
Well, that's hard. 3 or 4 words. I don't know. Blues, country, rock, you know, look, I'd say blues rock with country overtones, maybe, you know, from stuff I grew up with.
Yeah.
And try to have some original lyrics, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I don't want to go too far.
Good. Last question. What can people expect from you in a live performance?
Well, we just, like I say, we go out and just try to have fun with the crowd and try to, I mean, you know, if it's not too structured a performance where we have to be on and off in a certain amount of time, if we got a few minutes or maybe we're doing a couple of sets, I'll take requests, you know, we play covers here and there. I mean, I'm pretty shameless. We've been doing a couple of Led Zeppelin tunes in the set that, you know, I saw Zepp in 69 the first time when I was about 13 years old. And you know, it's like the bumper sticker that says, I may be older than you, but I saw all the cool bands, which we did see a lot of the great rock and roll guys and then the blues guys. Freddie King was readily available, you know, in a lot of places. He lived in Dallas, which is about 30 miles from me in Fort Worth.
Yeah, wow.
And I just, I like to do a cover here and there, you know.
And when the levee breaks?
No, we don't do that one.
Gotcha.
We more or less stick with just, you know, stuff off Led Zeppelin too, and then once in a while we'll do a, you know, we're doing this almost Christmas. We've been doing Please Come Home for Christmas, you know, just kind of have fun with it. People are looking at me like, what a sap, you know, but I just dig doing that stuff in a show.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, and if everybody else isn't doing it, then people are going to love the fact that you're doing
it. I hope so, you know, I mean, that's just kind of what we do,
you know? Good stuff, yeah. Buddy Whittington, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Chance. I appreciate you talking to me.
Yeah, well, thanks. Thanks for the interview.
Thanks to all the listeners. Go out and grab a copy of Six Strings Svengali and email me and let me know what you think about it.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'll make sure they do that.
Okay.
Yeah, great stuff.